shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to know that you revealed yourself to us in this end time and given also not only of your name to us, but a thorough exposition of yourself whereby we might know you, that word form having come to life. And there's a reality here that absolutely has not been since the beginning or even in the beginning, because they did not know you as we know you in the power of the resurrection, which is going on now, which is going to be responsible for bringing the dead out of the graves and changing us. And we know, Lord, that if we're not of that group, there is a group that's certainly going to receive it. So therefore, Lord, we are happy to know at least we are those who are in the light to that extent that we have perceived through your grace this knowledge. And Lord, that brings us to the point that we cannot believe then that we are blind, and if we are not blind anymore, but have the light, your eye having shined upon us, Lord, and that glory revealed to us, then, Lord, we just count ourselves part of that privileged group, and we thank you for it, Lord. We have made it personal because we believe you've made it personal. We believe all the signs are in concerning that, all the earmarks, and therefore we stand in a place not just of faith, but in a revealed knowledge. We know that we have come this far. We thank you, Lord, therefore, for grace and mercy. We rejoice in it. We praise you for it. We commend ourselves to it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to continue in the rapture, and of course, we're really slowed down, but that's all right. We'll take our time. We want to read again from page 14. This is message number 5 on about 8 pages, so hopefully we'll get maybe 10 more done this morning. Now, he says here in page 14, did you know that the Protestant and Catholic Church is predicted in the last days to be blind? The same thing through the Scriptures with Christ on the outside trying to get in. Because thou sayest, I am rich and have need of nothing, he's quoting you now the word the blindness is in Scripture, and have need of nothing, knowest thou not that thou art miserable, poor, wretched, naked, blind, and don't know it. Now that word miserable, poor, wretched, they're actually words that pretty well have their meanings closely united, on the grounds that here is a group of people who contend that they are exceedingly wealthy, and they're literally living in the delusion of the insane, who feel that they're like the intelligentsia, the cream of the crop, the noble, the rich, they've got it all, and they don't know that really they live down the back alley without any goods of this world at all. They're just beggars in a dream world. Now that's exactly what this is bringing out. You can see that today in the sense of where you might run across a poor bum in the gutter, and he'll tell you that though he's begging you for a dime, and his clothes are vermin infested, that he's really the son of Rockefeller, and he just hasn't got his money yet. And that's what this church is. They really think they're somebody. They think that they're rich, and they're actually beggars, destitute, and they don't have it. Now, then he says here, quoting Revelation 3, there you are back to blindness again. Now, what does he mean, blindness again? Well, when Christ was here on earth, the Pharisees counted themselves to be those rich in the things of God, that they had everything going for them, and that they saw, they understood the revelation, and he said, because you say you see, you're blind. They were blinded to everything which would have wrought their salvation, for salvation had come to them, and they turned it down. So there's a blindness once more, and of course, what is that blindness that was there? The blindness that was there was the very Christ that they wanted to see, the very Messiah they talked about, the very one that they looked for all these centuries. They had it entirely pegged wrong, though it was in Scripture, it was entirely pegged wrong as to how he would come. Brother Branham said so truthfully, that he came according to the Scripture, but not according to their interpretation of it. So therefore there is a blindness, because how could Christ be wanting to get back in the church if he wasn't there to be kicked out? So therefore there is a coming at the end time, which we call the presence, the appearing, that the people are absolutely unaware of. They're blinded to it. Now watch what he said. They're blinded. They're trampling over the things of God as if they didn't mean anything to them, scoffing and making fun of it. Now remember, the scoffers were to appear at the time of the revelation of the rapture doctrine. So we're on the subject of the rapture. And this coming then is the phase of the Lord Himself descending from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And this actual coming is what the church is not aware of. And so thereby in their blindness, they're trampling over the things of God. Now let's find out what the trampling over the things of God are. And I know that, look, you can get very excited over this message. You can get very vindictive. You can put on the boxing gloves, or better still, take the boxing gloves off and pick up a rock, or anything you can to smash people's skulls in. I recognize that this message has taken on a militancy which I hate to see. But we can't help what we preach so that people militate against us. But let's find out what trampling underfoot is so we know what we're talking about. Hebrews 10:26 beginning, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Now let's let that sink in. There's a sacrifice standing there. A knowledge of the truth comes after the sacrifice. The knowledge is turned down, there is no more sacrifice. You say, "Well, I think I'd like to disagree." Well, you may disagree. I'm not here to stop you from going to hell or to put you into heaven. Now, this is the kind of preaching people don't like, because it's too militant. It's too one-to-one. I want to tell you something. We are not going to make it as a group unless every single one of us is bright. Because a fellow snuck in without a garment. He thought he was going to make it as a group. They said, "Hey, where's your garment?" "I don't have one." "How'd you get in?" "Quote, the same way you got in, with your stinking creeds and dogmas." That you knew something was going on. Now, you see, Brother Branham, I'll hit this down the road a bit when we come to baptism of the Holy Ghost. How'd you get in? Now, he said here, "There's nothing but a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." Adversaries? What adversaries? Those that haven't received the truth. They willfully set it to one side. Now listen, we are talking about Moses, and Moses is Exodus, and Exodus is rapture, right? We went into that, didn't we? The subject was rapture. And no matter what we looked at, it had to do with the subject. So therefore, every illustration and every scripture had an overtone, if not an absolute element of indication, rapture. Now we went into the Exodus, we saw it. We saw how God interprets His own word. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." I don't care if he had the blood or not. They caught the men gathering sticks on Sabbath in order to cook some food. And they said, "Now, just a minute. We got a feeling that this is wrong. Is it wrong or not?" Moses said, "I don't know," but he said, "I'll inquire." Moses, being the prophet, inquired, and he came back as the verdict. He said, "Stone him with stones till he died." You say, "I don't think I like that. Where was the sacrifice?" Where was the sacrifice? Well, where was the sacrifice? They did it down in Egypt and brought him plumb over to here. Now, with the blood sacrifice standing there, they went against the Word of God? Absolutely. Now, you say, "Just a minute, what was that willfulness? That guy didn't even know." That's exactly what I want you to say. Let's go to Luke. the first chapter. Now it says here in Luke 1 and 17, "And this John the Baptist shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just." And disobedient there are not those who are willfully disobedient, as though they're going against an actual command, but they don't know any better. They're ignorant. Now, these people know better, because they had Moses, they had Jesus, now they have William Branham, of which even the classical historians of the Scripture will tell you no man in 2,000 years produced what William Branham produced. Now we got a few people of the ilk of the Satan, of the spirit of hell, who now want to denigrate a man, of which they're not worthy to even clean up his latrine. Right. Spiritually, physically speaking, because I know those birds, and I knew the prophet. Now we're going to get right to Jesus the Christ. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and done despot to the spirit of grace." You can go plumb as far as the blood and go to hell. You can acknowledge the sacrifice and talk about your hope in God, but it doesn't mean one thing if you turn down late. Now, anybody can say amen glibly, and some of us can sit and wonder what I'm talking about. Well, I'm doing my best to explain it to you. "For we know him that said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people." It's a fearful thing to follow the hands of God. Now, where does the judge come? The judge comes by a prophet. The prophet comes to get the word, and then he tells you what the word means, and then he begins to apply the word. All right, let's go to John, the third chapter. And here we're talking about the sacrifice. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, everlasting life." And then it says subsequently, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now he tells you there is no condemnation, then he tells you there is condemnation. And he tells you the condemnation is they haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then he explains what that is. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Now, then it goes on to say, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Now, there's not one of us sitting here but doesn't know that adultery is wrong, and smoking is wrong, and drinking is wrong, and killing is wrong, and slander is wrong, and lying is wrong, and coveting is wrong, and all those things are wrong. Exactly right? Anybody knows that? That's not the deeds you bring. Not the deeds you bring. Now it says that they won't bring their deeds because the light has come, and they simply will not bring those deeds to the light, and therefore the blood does not avail. That's what it says over here in Hebrews. Now let's go back to John again. We go to 1 John. We read in the third chapter, which you read before. It says in verse 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifested, that he might bring to nothing the works of the devil." In other words, the works of the devil and these people that are sinning. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God." You have anointing from the Holy One. You don't need man to teach you, and you're going to be always right. That's what he's talking about. "And this, the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not a God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Now, the emphasis is always put on "he that loveth not his brother." And they get it all mixed up with the fact, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not destroy, not slander, not covet, not commit adultery, not this, not that. Just be nice and be a good fella." That's not what evil deeds are. Let's find out. "This is a message you heard from the beginning," way back in Genesis. "We love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one who slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." It was the two sacrifices.
Absolutely. One had the light and one didn't. Now, the blood only avails for those who are in the light. Now, people can say what they want, but I'm not a fool and you're not fools. The organization can say what it wants. Anybody can say what it wants, but this is what the Word of God says. And light depends on a revelation. A revelation depends upon grace. Grace depends upon foreknowledge. Foreknowledge helps out working in election. Election goes to predestination. Predestination brings a bride. Now, you can say what you want, but that's exactly the truth. Okay. The people don't know it is not my fault. And they become adversaries of this simple truth. And when they do it, they trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant. And they make Jesus Christ a dirty thing. You say, oh, I can't believe that. You believe what you want. Because I care less. We say, really don't mean it. No, I don't really mean it in one way, but I really do mean it in another way. Because that means you can do what you want. Once I preach, it's out of my hands. See? That's just where it is. Now, scoffing and making fun. What are they making scoffing and making fun of? The light of this hour. And the scoffing comes under the rapture. You say, what about other doctrines? Absolutely. Predestination. When the prophet hit that, where'd they go? Every major split and error that's in this message started with predestination. But now the last one is here. Because the last doctrinal sermon that Brother Branham preached was the rapture. Now notice what he says about the rapture. This is the subject. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ was waiting for, that revelation of the rapture. Now he says right here that this is what he's on to. This is what he's talking about. That the bride is waiting for it. Now, whether she waits or not, or knows it or not. That's right. Whether she knows she's waiting, or whether she's waiting. She's waiting for it. Now, here's a man telling the condition of a people. There are those who swear, we understand. They say, we positively know the rapture. We understand his appearing and his coming, and they don't. They're satisfied that they've got it. But he says, the bride, the true church, there has got to come a revelation of it. It has got to be revealed to her. And a true bride will be waiting for it. In other words, no matter what she has previously believed or what she's been taught, she will break with it when the revelation comes. See? Now, it, what it, the rapture, is a revelation. For the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you like it was to Abraham. Now, here's the good part of it. Because you can take this first part and become an absolute idiot. A spiritual malfunction. Well, it's a revelation. Well, the rapture is a revelation. So if the rapture is a revelation, I now put myself in a spiritual, ethereal, esoterical position in a never-never land, and I just wait here, sort of entranced, and I say, revelation, revelation, revelation. I'm being raptured, revelation. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I've dealt with cults in Florida. There's nothing I despise more than cultism. Because this is not something which is bland and shapeless. It is tremendously factual and deals with the literal resurrection and a transformation of human bodies and a catching away into the millennium of Almighty God. And you don't get it by nice thoughts. As though the rapture were simply a thinking process. It is an inevitable spiritual reality that's going to change us. And we don't have to get into some nether neverland. See, this is what hit the people when Brother Branham brought this out, that the revelation, the rapture was a revelation, so they wanted to put themselves out here in some kind of never neverland. Forget it. The rapture is the most fundamental thing that God will have done in 6,000 solid years. Solid, solid, solid. Now he says here, faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham. Now, here's where your faith is. That could call anything contrary that what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. So everything that's contrary to the rapture doctrine doesn't exist to a person who has the revelation of the rapture doctrine. You just say, I'm sorry. Oh, see it that way. Now listen, let's get this flat. The body natural, which was Abraham's body, and Sarah natural, which was his wife, was very militant against the idea that Abraham and Sarah could be changed and have a son. Now the fact of the matter is, I don't think they even the thought of being changed entered their minds. The word had come to them as far as they knew, look, you're going to have a baby boy. So they kept looking at their bodies. There came a time when it wasn't any use looking at her, so he picked up Hagar. That didn't do it. And there came a time when there wouldn't have been any use looking to him if she was able, because he wasn't any good. So now the revelation comes, you're going to have a child anyway. Well, what's against them? Old age. Now something's got to happen somewhere. It doesn't matter how it happens, but something has got to happen so that child can come. So now the revelation breaks on them at this time, and he was speaking concerning the fertility period of Sarah, which she hadn't had one for a long time. So now she's got to think that one over. Why, she said, you know, that's going to put me back where I was. And she got the thing, and she said, I just don't understand it, because she said, do you mean to tell me that Abraham and I are going to have pleasure like young people? Because it's a sexual instinct that brings on children. They're born from sexual desires. Or there wouldn't be any. She got the thing over. Exactly right. Now, everything that was there that was against the revelation, see, had to go. Now, what is the doctrine of the revelation of the rapture? Shout, voice, trumpet. With the specific understanding that Jesus does all three in descending. That the one who comes down in Revelation 10 and 1 is here at the same time Revelation 10 and 7 is here. Now, they're going to say, just a minute, I can't believe that. Because you see, our understanding is, he suddenly starts and there's a shout, the voice of trumpet. Whatever they mean, God knows. We don't, but we know we're going to get caught up and taken away. Now, you blew it. You blew it, because what came in is contrary to what the prophet said. See? Now, the bride does not take it down. Turn it down. She takes it. Now, it, this true revelation of the rapture, is what she believes And she has got to believe it, whatever it is, and I could be wrong what I'm teaching, which I'm certainly am not. If I'm wrong, I wonder why the prophet said what he said. I'd like to know. I've heard some of the exorcism sermons other men preach against it, and I can't buy what they say. It's right back there at Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost is what turns it down. So if you preach any Pentecostal doctrine, you're shucked, you're finished. If you say any doctrine, yeah, because they've all been corrected. See? Now, he said, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. All right. If it began with revelation, then it has to continue with revelation, and it's got to end with the revelation. Now, what part of the body is built upon revelation in our days? The very last part. So there's going to be a revelation. Now, therefore, what evidence is here, visible, or produced? There is something here because it says faith is something been revealed to you like it was to Abraham. Now, Abraham did not get a revelation wherein he is a type of the elect outside of a visible, definitive, proven manifestation. That's the reason he could call anything contrary as though it wasn't so. Now, the entire body is built on it. So, therefore, we are to apply everything and anything that we've ever heard that's contrary to this doctrine, apply it as though it's not so because it is not so. Now, a few weeks ago, he said, I was talking to a Baptist minister. Came up to discuss with me, and he said, I like you as a man, but you're all mixed up. Now he's talking about William Branham, who is at the end time, and we're a part of the body. All right? And Brother Branham said here, I pray you help me get straightened out. Now he said, with the scripture. And the man said, we'll never be able, Brother Branham, to get the things together till we get every word upon word, exactly Greek and so forth. And I said, oh, sir, you know better than that. Even the Nicene Council, way back as far as that 300 years from the death of Christ, they were still debating which Greek scholar is right. You cannot. It's a revelation. The whole thing is, I cannot accept a revelation. He said, Brother Man said, then how can you accept Christ? Now watch. To turn this down is to turn down Christ, and here he is to take us up. You see? He said here, I cannot receive a revelation. And Brother Branham said, then how can you accept Christ? Now the point is that the people that are looking to get out of here in a rapture put the whole thing on Jesus the Christ, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven to shout the voice of the trump of God. Didn't Christ arise first and reach Armin and call up you and meet the Lord in the air? See? Now at this point, the blood is in remission. You don't have to worry one bit whether the blood's on the mercy seat or not. It doesn't mean any good if it's on the mercy seat or you name it. I don't care where it is. If you trample underfoot the light of the hour, and remember, contrary to what anybody says, Paul did not have the light of the revelation of this hour. I don't care what anybody says. I can prove you're right by the scripture of Almighty God, which makes every single man a liar, but William Branham and those who believe exactly like him, which is people like you and me. For it says right here, Paul himself declaring that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, he didn't know it. If by any means. Now he said, and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death, that won't do it. The only way to be conformable to his death is to have the revelation of his death, which is the shed blood, which is inactive in our behalf unless we're in the light. This is where your foolish virginness had come up. Under works. If by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection from among the dead. Not as though I'd already attained. So he hadn't attained there. Either we're perfect, so he wasn't perfect. He hadn't got it finished off. But I follow after. If I may apprehend that which I'm apprehended in Christ, took him out from amongst the dead. Then what about the one standing there? Paul didn't have it. So there's an end time revelation that's going to put us into the rapture. Now, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reach forth unto those things which are before. The old manure head had become a non-manure head. The human intelligence had gone to the eagle of revelation. Now he said, listen, at any time that I am I'm faced with light, I put behind me what I thought was right. I want to ask you people a question. How many of you are interpreting the rapture that Brother Branham preached in the light of any understanding you previously had? Now, if you think you had understanding, let me tell you flat. You are manure heads. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to name you right down a bunch of manure heads, and I'm sick sorry for you, but I'm not apologizing, because I think I know the Scripture better than anybody here, maybe all of you put together, and I was absolutely a manure head on this doctrine. Absolutely. I had no idea, period, concerning truth. I had everything wrong concerning truth. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ the righteous, the one that went up there and is up there right now, is he in the light? Do you think he doesn't know this? He's the one that does know it. Who's the one that was standing there to give the light as the judge at the end time? Paul was judging, not as though I'd already attained. He made a judgment. He knew. No age but this age attained. See? If your heat's on, turn it on. That's the thermometer back to me, not heat here. The pulpit can sizzle, which it does. Reaching for the things which are before, there were things that were ahead of Paul that he himself hadn't apprehended. This was it. Then you tell me that Pentecost will be in the rapture. I tell you, somebody's wrong. And it's not the prophet. It's not we who believe the prophet. He said, why the Bible said, he that believeth on Christ had everlasting life. I said, that's true. It also says that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the revelation of the Holy Ghost that is revealed to him. Now, where are you going from there? You say, well, what God gives with one hand, he takes back with the other. That's a lie from the pit of hell. What God gives from his hand, he stipulates how you get it. And any man that has anything worth an inheritance, he's going to pass on to his kids, also stipulates. Or there's something wrong with the man. In the Bible, Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible to read. But it was revealed to Abel by faith, which is a revelation. Abel offered unto God a righteous and sacrifice, and that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. Now remember, not religious. See? Oh, they won't deny the rapture. Absolutely not, because they're religious. See? But they don't know how it takes place, and they claim they do, because they say, oh, we're rich and increased in goods and don't have need of a thing. Well, if you don't have need of a thing, you're going to make the rapture. And you aren't going to. Few there be. Maybe 500 out of what? 5 billion? See? Now, when Jesus was asked here in Matthew 16, 17, 18, you haven't got time to read it. You want to write it down? He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? All right? Now, he's talking about a revelation, how you've got to have it, and the rapture must be revealed, or you couldn't be a part of it. That's what he tells us. Absolutely. Now he goes to the Bible to illustrate. And we know what we read already in 1 John, that third chapter, how that Cain was of the wicked one with an excellent sacrifice. Taken right from the Bible. That guy was a real Baptist. Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness. No problem. Don't worry, he was convinced there was no eternal hellfire. He wouldn't have killed his brother. He knew it. That's the doctrine of the Roman Catholic from Dante's Inferno. Nothing to do with the whole holy word of Almighty God, because hell's a created thing. It's going to go out of existence. It doesn't have the seed of God in it. Remember, it was one of those things ordained or written of because it says that the hell was created for the devil and his angels. So therefore, it's part of the afterthought, so to speak, or that which would be in there to further manifest the goodness and grace of Almighty God as was necessary. Now, said, who do you say I am? They said, Moses, Elijah, somebody. Who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now he said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. Upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, and he's the revelation of God, God made in flesh and revealed to the world. He was in the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world himself, revealing what God was in a body of flesh. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. Now, he's telling us what a revelation is. Now, over here, he says to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. All right, here stands Jesus. He said, okay. He said, I've been around here to the extent that I've caused a lot of furor. I've caused people to take thoughts and double thoughts. Now, he said, they're all guessing and talking who I am. He said, it's very interesting. I've heard the reports, he said, but I haven't heard a report from you. Now, he said, let's make it unanimous, what's going on in the world. If I hear a report from you, then he said, it's from across the board. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's right. Well, they said this. Now, he said, who do you say? Well, Peter said, thou art the Christ. Now, watch what I'm trying to get you. He was there with a universal report having gone out. Now comes the hour. Who is this man anyway? What is going on anyway? What is it all about? And the revelation from God was, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is that one of whom John said, this is the Lamb. Now let's watch the same thing. William Branham is down here on earth. God comes down out of heaven, the messenger above all messengers, which we'll see in the rapture here. Revelation 10 and 1 has come on down, and William Branham is standing there. And William Branham has had a ministry that no man can duplicate. There is nobody who can do it. He's the one man who could tell it as it is. He could see it, and he alone could tell what he saw. He could hear it, and he alone could tell what he heard, and nobody else could. But they're all out there lying that they can. They're lying, filthy blasphemers. Well, you say, Brother Baal. Don't Brother Baal me. For them they gladly see me burn to be a twofold child of hell, a proselyte, because they're proselytes, and a prostitute's the same thing. They're glad to see me. They'd rejoice in my flesh. Well, let them go down. Amen. Let them go down. So William Branham stood there. 2,000 years, not a man like him. And he stood there and he said, tell you what, he said then. Do you people know what's going on? He said, you know what's happening? Do you know who I am? He said, more than once, if you knew who I was, you'd all be healed. Yeah, pretty stout words. But he proved it. He said, bring me your worst, bring me 24 of your worst cases. They wouldn't do it. So down around the Mexican border, he said, bring me your worst case, and they did, and the little girl was healed. Proving he had, nobody else had. Because you see, he made a guarantee on God. And remember, nobody can swear by God or even say, tomorrow we will go to such a city and have such a good time. He said, if the Lord will. And this man stood there and he said, I challenge you. That wasn't William Branham talking. Come on, don't be a doozy. I don't care if that would have come out of a barn door. That was God. The word of Almighty God. And Billy Branham stood there and he said, what do you think's going on? I'll read what he said. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation. Now listen, Jesus stood there and he said, who do you think I am? Who am I? And they said, thou art the Christ. And he was standing there in the light of everything that everybody had previously thought concerning the scripture fulfillment, and what was going now, on now, as what could be a scripture fulfillment, and to who he was, and then he said, what is your revelation? Well, they said, everybody says you're this, you're that, the other thing. Well, he said, all right, who do you? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. He nailed what was going on. It took a revelation. And the prophet stood right there and he said, the bride is waiting for revelation. I am going to tell you about the rapture. It is going on now.
Hallelujah.
And they said, horse feathers. Pickle smoke is old Amos Hoople and the funny paper fireman. Remember those good old boys? You don't, because you're too young. Norm remembers one or two of them. Fap, pickle smoke, and horse feathers. Nice language. Claptrap, balderdash, and God knows what in our day and age. I said, no way. No way. Now you see what I did, and I hope you caught it. I was bringing in last Wednesday's message of God interpreting, which will be read to you, hope, before the day's over, by manifesting what is going on. By manifesting the word, literally what's going on is manifesting the word, bringing it into into observation, and then telling about it. And Brother Branham did it. Now, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. Now that was fine in his day of flesh. What is he today? Son of man. Now what is Son of man? Now here's where the little weak-hearted ones go and the others go too strong. Son of man, Brother Branham said, the question was, Brother Branham, somebody called you the Son of man. I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of man. He said, I am not he. The pillar of fire is not he. It is in spirit form. Now, just a minute. The pillar of fire stands there. William Branham stands here. And where's the Son of Man? Operating through the prophet.
Amen.
The same God moving through a prophet. And they say, now, just a minute. I don't know if that's the way it'll work. Because, you see, now God would have to get in the prophet. How much? But then maybe not. Who knows the answers? But we know one thing in the form of the Spirit. It was the Spirit doing it. And because Son of Man is linked with the prophet would have to be there telling it. But he said, he's not the pillar of fire, and I am not he, but he's here. And how is he here? Pillar of fire is here. Son of Man is here. Prophet is here, because God works in threes. So who is to say that God doesn't take of his spirit and put it in William Branham and manifest God? Let me show you something. God one day came down and he put his spirit on Moses. And the old father-in-law said, Moses, you're going to wear yourself your frazzle. Get smart, boy. He said, get yourself a bunch of men. And he said, let them do the odd jobs and judge. And then you do the big job. So God said, that's pretty good. I'll let you do it, Moses. And so Moses stood there and God took the spirit off of him, put it on 70 men, and Moses had more on him than the 70 had on them. That's 70 people with ministry. And here stood God. Tell me, was God diminished? Was he any less God? Then you try to explain these things. I don't. I just believe him. So, pillar of fire, William Branham, Son of Man, in a spirit form. But we can't see spirit. We can't see pillar of fire. We see prophet. When you saw prophet, you saw God.
Right, amen.
Do what you want. Saw him in a form. Now, Son of Man. He said, flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. And upon this rock I'll build my church. What part is being built today? It's being built upon the revelation of what? Son of Man and the rapture. The little appearing. That's our revelation. I'm going to build my church. And Brother Branham in parenthesis, the revelation of the Word in its season. What is seasonable? Now, you know that the health fads, they got a theory that if you want to be healthy, you should eat the food that's in your area here. Like they say, well, look, oranges don't grow here, so you shouldn't eat oranges. Well, maybe some of us can't afford oranges. That lets us out. But you got carrots, and Brother Branham saw a bunch of carrots. I don't think he saw oranges and apples. He might have. But he saw a bunch of carrots and fresh green vegetables and things. So let's go to the vegetables. They claim you're supposed to eat what's in native to you. Well, that's all right then. The light began to move west. We don't have the light that was back there in Pentecost. That was inception. Any woman and any man will tell you that conception, which is inception, and gestation is a million miles from delivery. Although it's only 9 months, it's a million miles in the sense you can't even see the sperm and egg without a magnifying object like a microscope. But anybody's got to be deaf, dumb, and blind, paralyzed, not to see a baby that's anywhere from 4 pounds to 9 and 10. They used to be big, much, years ago they had them even 14 pounds. I'm just trying to tell you this, let's get it across flat, that what you couldn't see in the beginning is full-fledged as it comes down. All right? There's a difference between the end and the beginning. So therefore, the season and the place of this word is the end time in the west, because the light moves west. Now, you say, how do you know it? Well, the prophet said so, but then again, I'm not stupid. I can read history. And with history, I can understand geography. And the gospel has always come west. And anybody knows when it goes full around, that's the end of it. Anybody would know that. Or they should. All right. Now, the rapture is the literal descent or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own. For the Lord himself descends from heaven to shout with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and then it says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. But remember, before you get to that point, you've got to read in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, that fourth chapter, these verses. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he's talking to the living at the time of the resurrection. Will not sleep, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. This is said by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not take any exception or precedence over them with our sleep. And that's right today. You got the same thing. Like a fellow wants to preach it. If you die, you're not bride. Hogwash. I can be dead in 5 minutes and I'm bride. Amen. And I'll prove it by coming back. Amen. And confronting him with his hogwash. Because the prophet said so. I'm not caring what he said. Take his mysticism and do what he wants with it. That's where you come to this stupid idea that the rapture is some kind of a little revelation. If I just get a revelation, some goofy boofy in my head here, I'm in it. You're nuts. You're out of it. I'm sorry, but let's get pragmatic, dogmatic, and God knows what. Because you've got to get rid of all this nonsense. Look, brother, sister, we are into the stage of reality. And let me tell you something. Spirit is more real than physical. Because the Spirit was here first. And God couldn't even do one thing until he began to manifest in a physical. So let's face it. You've got spirit, now you've got physical. Because the end time revelation is Jesus Christ, the beginning of the creation of God, God forming himself in the human body. And the human body is all but finished. It is finished with the bride because Israel blew its day. Let's face it, Israel blew its day. It's gone. 144,000 are not brides, they're there as eunuchs. Virgins, they take care of the bride in the bridal chamber. All right, now listen. The Lord descends, he is here, and the gates of hell are against it. Listen, let's get this flat. The devil used everything in the book he could do to destroy Eve and get the human race down. Don't you think you'll do every single thing in the book to stop man going to the tree of life and walking into immortality? Sure he will. And you're going to be based upon an argument. Well, God said we shouldn't eat. Now, he said, tut, 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 tut. I know God said it, but he didn't explain it. Did he tell you how life would come? Did he give you the ins and outs? Oh, no, he didn't. Well, let me tell you, God knows when you eat this fruit and you enter into this act of carnality, then your eyes are open and you know good and evil, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm explaining it. She said, oh, you don't mean to say what? He said, I just told you I wouldn't have. Well, certainly I meant it, he said. Gates of hell are against it today. So they come along and they say, now come, come, there's no such thing as him being present. There's no such thing as the rapture being threefold. There's no such thing as being a progression. It's bam, bam, bam. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In 18 million years, it may look like bam, bam, bam. But it's been going on since 1933, and Jubilee has expired.
Amen.
50 years. We're in the ushering in of the millennium, whether anybody wants it or not. So the gates of hell are against it. They were against the revelation back there, which was a manifestation and a proof of the hour. And he's against the manifestation of proof of the hour. God in the, with the skin on it. Well, the same people jump up and down. I'm God with the skin on it. I'm God with the skin on it. Well, for heaven's sake, do something that's God-like. Oh, they say, well, I'm a beautiful creature. Oh, fact. Satan is much more beautiful. Sealed up the sum of beauty and wisdom. Well, I got great miracles. Ah, forget it. Judas raised the dead too. Don't give me that poppycock and nonsense.
Amen.
Let's see you stand with the revelation. Gates of hell aren't against your gifts. Gates of hell aren't against character. And I'm not against character either. But I'm not being deceived these days, brother, sister. The booker is there against the revelation of the Son of Man because that's the season. The season of the Son of Man is pre-Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
And that's when the rapture takes place. We get out of here before the burning. The book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Certainly is. It's sealed to unbelievers. In there the Bible says in 22nd chapter, whoever takes one word or adds one word, it'll take his part from the book of life. What part? You're left standing here. No rapture. Every place you go where there was out the wedding garment or something has gone on which God has to condemn, it's outer darkness, gnashing of teeth, great tribulation. So what do you do? You miss what you could have had. Now they're going to scream blood. They're going to scream works. They're going to scream gifts. They're going to scream character. They're going to scream everything. Scream the revelation.
Amen.
Because Abraham stood there and he said, hey, he said, do you know? Man. He said, Sarah, I've got to wake you up, kid. He said, look at it. Do you understand? Man, I just can't believe it. He said, girl, you're getting this thing. You see, you laughed at it. He said, I just don't think you can. He said, man, he said, look. It's because he said so.
Amen.
Do you realize that?
That's right.
People, listen. They quote the scripture. He stands behind his word to perform it. God can do anything but lie. And then comes right down here. He's a liar. Oh, we got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Standing in a row. Big ones and little ones. Wouldn't you know? I forget that song. It was the first, Second World War one. What a lovely bunch of coconuts. Anybody remember that except me? Oh, you bunch of birds here. We ought to have somebody that's a little past 25 or somewhere near. Norman nods his head. I think Norman must have been a dirty dog like me singing all those songs. I haven't seen too many, Norm. But I remember them anyway. Pitiful. That's the way the church is. I'll take his part. Remember, the part today is rapture. First resurrection. Millennium. Gone. We realize that then it was altogether for believers. That's revelation. Certainly not for unbelievers. Because evidently believers won't add or take. A lot of people get an idea when I might add or take. Look, and the Word always corrects the Word. And I say the Word, you and me being Word, the Word, this here, given by a prophet, will always correct us. Don't worry. We realize that then it was altogether given for believers, and it opens the book of Revelation, reveals who the author of this entire book is. He's to look upon as Alpha and Omega from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus Christ the same, right straight through, and reveals his complete mystery of himself and his plans for the church ages that's to come, and was sealed in there by seven seals. And part of the coming was the rapture in the presence. It was all sealed up. Now, history took us into the past. Brother Branham used the church ages to bring us to the present. But where do we get the present, especially if it's a sealed book? And remember, the rapture is under the seals. And remember, the rapture is an integral part of the literal coming. So therefore, the rapture is under the seventh seal. Now, the book was written. But then remember, it was sealed with seven seals. And those seven seals was not to be opened, Revelation 10, till the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth, Revelation 10 and 7 C. And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel, the mystery of God to be finished in that age. That's that age we're living in. That's why the seals will give us rapturing faith. Because you cannot have faith outside of a revelation. And you cannot have a revelation unless it's pertinent. Your father said it's got to be pertinent. Because if it's not, then the blood doesn't apply. And if the blood doesn't apply, then the high priest can't apply. The mediator cannot apply. The intercessor cannot apply. The high priest cannot apply. Nothing can apply. Now, I'm sorry. But this is all that opens the book to me, is to preach the way I preach. I see nothing except when I see this. I see everything in disarray and a God who didn't know what he was doing. But I'm sick and tired of quoting John 3:16 without going three more verses. You might as well read the Bible where it says, let him that steal stole no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. He may have to get it poor, and a lot of people want to read it this way. Let him that the stole steal. No more laboring with his hands. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe anything. Because I've seen it happen. Now, what's to come? Okay. We all know we're living in the Laodicean age. There will not be another age to it. Can't be. We're living in that Laodicean age. The seven seals that held that book is a mystery to the people. Should be opened at that day. That's our day. That's what he promised. Now it won't be nothing outside the Word, because you can't add to the Word or take from the Word. It's got to remain always the Word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it. Of what it is. To make it fit with the rest of the Scripture. Then God vindicates that to be the truth. You understand what he said? Let me read it again. This revelation, this mystery, which is the rapture, that's the subject. And remember, under the mysteries that were to be revealed, immortality and the raptures are two mysteries. And the resurrection from among the dead. See? All right. But the revelation can't be anything added to the Word or taken from the Word. It's got to remain always the Word. In other words, the way it's written here in the book of Thessalonians is the Word of God. Now watch. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it. To know what it means. To make it fit with the rest of Scripture. Now the rest of the Scripture distinctly says Elijah is going to come and restore. The rest of the Scripture says that the presence of God is going to be here in signs and wonders. The rest of the Scripture says that that one cannot come down here in flesh. No way, even though he is going to come down, he cannot come down until first of all the Word is restored. And he tells you at that time when the Word is restored, there's a division that those that don't go all the way die. They go to the Great Tribulation. They're finished. All right, so there's a continuity here. So this has got to be in continuity. Your bride's got to get out of here before the burning. Well, that Son of Man comes in the picture. A prophet comes in the picture. Revelation 10, 1 to 7 comes in the picture. Matthew 24 comes in the picture. The whole thing comes in the picture with Thessalonians here that goes to Ephesians 1, that goes to 2 Thessalonians, the mighty one coming down with seven angels enhancing him. All of it's there. The whole thing, see? Now, he said, and God vindicates that to be the truth. Now remember, Brother Branham categorically struck vindication as per the pillar of fire and the seven angels, which I don't think we got hung up here. He said the camera took it. And he put them down as scientific evidence. So that not only did nature attest to God, but man in his scientific ways attested to God, whether he knew it was God or not. See? Making it fit. Now listen, so God don't need no interpreter. He's his own interpreter. He does his own interpretation by bringing to pass the things that he said would happen. Like in the beginning, he said, let there be light, and there was light. That doesn't need any interpretation. It was vindicated. All right? Alpha's Omega. Always, you can't help it. So therefore, God is going to interpret by bringing the thing to pass. There's got to be a light that is absolutely revealed to us at this end time. Now notice, in here it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And Brother Branham said that one in Revelation 10 and 1 was right down here on earth the same time Revelation 10 and 7 was. And it's at that time of that mighty one that comes down, when Revelation 10 and 7 is here, that every mystery is clarified that we need. Because Revelation 10, 1 to 7 goes with Acts, the third chapter, the middle of the 19th verse, to about verse 22 or 3. Now, let's look at the picture even more closely. The rapture brings him down to earth in the form of the Holy Spirit. Because Brother Branham kept putting that before our attention at all times. It's a form of the Holy Spirit. He comes down. Now, I want to go to the Psalms, the 24th Psalm, for a little bit here. Now it said, lift up, verse 7, lift up your heads, ye gates, lift up the everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, ye gates, even lift up the everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is King of glory. Now that was the ascent of Christ with the Old Testament saints, the first half of the first rapture, right? He went up there with them. Is that correct? All right, my brother, sister. Let's go back then to Jude. And we'll look in Jude 14, and Enoch also the seventh man and prophesied of these things, behold, the Lord cometh, not goeth. In Psalm 24, the Lord wenteth. Yep, he went. He wenteth with thousands and thousands of Old Testament brides. But in Jude 14, he cometh with tens of thousands, he saints, which is all the bride, with 144,000 coming back. Now listen. He's coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all. That's to convict all their ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have used against him. And every word, every telling you fact, that every single diabolical tradition and doctrine which was inspired by hell. When Jesus comes down on earth with his bride, we're going to stand right here and eyeball the whole bunch and tell them, you all a bunch of liars. You've lied about everything. You bet. He's going to convince them. He's going to convict. And a man that's convicted is judged. And Christ's going to come right down here in a human form. God and his bride. Going to come right down here and face that whole bunch. Now you say, well, Brother Vail, I think I'm too nice. You ain't going to make it in the first place. I'll tell you that right now. Now you don't have to be nasty to make it. I'm just telling you, a lot of people got the wrong idea. They are so far away from the Word of God in this hour where judgment has struck. Who will tell a clean thing to be unclean? Who will tell an unclean thing that is clean? Let me tell you, fat brother, that's dangerous. The church has done it. Well, I'm not part of the church. I'm standing here in his integrity and what he said. Putting the dress on, he told us to dress in. See? All right. Let's look at the picture then. When you are talking about the physical of Jesus Christ, he went up with the physical bride around him that was in existence at that time. When he comes back, he will come back with the physical bride around him. Where do you find that he comes down right to earth here and picks us up in the physical? No, he went up with physical, he comes back with physical, and we have better get up there where he is physical and we physical, because that's the only way it's going to be, because Alpha is Omega. See, I don't care which way you type this thing. You can't do one thing with the doctrine of the revelation that Brother Branham brought us. Old people say, I don't believe that. They don't have to believe nothing. They don't anyway. Now, he said it was vindicated. Then in paragraph 78, now he promised certain things in this last day. What's this last day? This day we're living in, which was up here that I read about Laodicea. For he's going to interpret his word by bringing it right to pass under our noses. Well, listen, if interpretation of the word of God is bringing the thing to pass, and we are not privy to it now, what good is it going to be when it's all over? He said the bride's waiting for the revelation. Well, where are you going? You're going to get the revelation. When you're going to have the faith to get out of here. I'm going to say, I don't have any faith to get out of here. I have faith that I am getting out of here. And I'm on my way now. You do what you want. I got no trouble. Because I know I'm going. Now he promised certain things in this last day. In the scripture. Why, there it was. Now he's going to give an illustration. That's how Jesus, the Son of God, he promised to send him. That God promised to send that one back in that day. Now it's going to be the same thing today. When he was in the days here on earth, the people couldn't believe him. He said, search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify me. If I don't do the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify who I am. And then you do that, you'll start moving up. Getting somewhere. Now, he's referring to the same thing today. At the end time or rapture time, his ministry proves his presence, that he is already here, which is the light. Because he said if he's the same one, yet they didn't bear him, he'll do in the spirit what he did in the flesh. So I know he's here in the spirit. Now what's he here in the spirit for? To shout, the voice, the trumpet. You can't get away from it. Well, then in Wesley's age, the works that he did testified who he was. Testified who was? Wesley, who he was. In Wesley's age, on the Reformation, why, sure, it testified who Luther was, not Jesus. Testified who Luther was. The days of Pentecostal, restoring back gifts, restoration gifts, speaking in tongues, cast out devils, and the gifts testified. Who did they testify? Pentecost. There was no joke about it. Now, that was back there, see? Their works testify who they were. Just what people they were. They also testify to what Christ had for that hour. Now then, what about this hour of presence with William Branham and the prophet? Now, people said when Pentecost first raised up, I read the books on Pentecost, they said it can't last long. It'll burn down. It's still burning. Why? It's because you'll never put it out. God said it would be there. It's that portion of the word, and no more could you put that out. Now listen, and when the bride is being called out, which she wasn't being called out in Luther Wesley Pentecost, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. In other words, every single thing Brother Branham did was to indicate it's going on now. Look, don't you believe that the redemption of man through Jesus Christ was going on the very minute that the angel came to Mary? Certainly. And when the Holy Ghost impregnated her, that is by reason of putting the two cells in there. Don't you understand redemption was going on? And don't you know one day redemption was full-fledged, that after the cross he went down into Hades, preached to the souls in prison, took him out, took his blood up there? And redemption stands? Now you tell me redemption wasn't going on. And you tell me there aren't 1,000 types in the Old Testament. Now you try to tell me that the rapture's not going on. Certainly it's going on. I can't help it if people don't see it. But it's my job to cinch it down here. Now, and when the bride is being called, how are you going to put it out? It's a revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. In other words, we have had manifested to us 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Ephesians 1:15-23, and so on right down the line. See? Now, and we're living in that day. Praise be to God. The revelation of the mystery of himself, who is being testified to. The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the revelation, the mystery of the revelation? It's over here in Ephesians. We read it time and time after again. I've been preaching a whole series on it. I'll get back to some of it later on again, when the Lord lets me get back to it. The eyes you understand, the spirit of revelation and wisdom and the knowledge of him. Eyes you understanding, your heart being enlightened, tells you right there. The revelation that he is here tells who is here what is going on. The Lord himself has descended. Now, the rapture is only, this rapture that we're talking about, is only for the bride. So who's going to get a revelation? Bride. Who's going to fight it? Gates of hell. Who's going to fight it? The willful. Willful ignorant. Who's going to fight it? The scoffers. And all the time they're going to say, oh, we believe. What do you believe? Just ask him, is he here? Well, he's always been here. Then he didn't come down this trip. I say, well, you say to me, Brother Vail, get off the ceiling. I say, stupid idiots, I'm down. Oh, Brother Vail, come down. Oh, God. Jesus does not visit insane institutions to bring out his bride. The prophet said they're intelligent. But intelligent people soon become dupes of the devil, just given the chance. So-called intelligence. Something's wrong somewhere. It's only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said the rest of the dead didn't live for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? Well, he's the messenger revealing it. He said, what's going on if I haven't been here to tell you about it? What do you think I came for? What do I think I came for? What is it all about? What age are we living in? What are we going to do? What promises do we have? See, he's talking rapture, the subject. We're into it. There's going to be a rapture. The Bible says there will be. It'll only be for the elected lady. The bride of this day that's pulled out. That's the living church. Pulled out of the church. Now, that bride is living amongst the dead. The dead ones that are gone on, that are saints, they've already had their word. Their word is if you die, they'll live. Our word is you won't die. So, all right, there's two different words for two different seasons. I don't care what anybody says. The word church means called out. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. Now remember, Moses is a prophet. You understand that? Now who is it that's well, let's go over here to the book of Revelation chapter 18. We got to see something here. Verse 1, I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mighty with a strong voice, Babylon the great is fallen, and fallen becomes their habitation of devils, hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now another angel came down and said that. Now remember, for every messenger here, there's a messenger there, and there's one above all. Right? Absolutely. Seven church-age messengers, seven angels came as counterparts in the middle with Jesus Christ himself. The one above all. Now don't try to kid me. That's what the prophet said. I'll show you a little later on. All right? Unclean become the hold of all the cage and so on. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. So, okay. There is a messenger, and there's got to be a prophet with the messenger, because people do not hear the word of God, the voice of God. Only a prophet can do that. So therefore, the messenger of this hour is a prophet. And he screams to the church to come on out, the bride to come out. So she's called out. Now, notice what he says over here. When you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men and stand there and declare himself, just as ever he did, and that's the truth, his Bible open. So, all right, we got that one coming down, the one was on the throne, and there's a prophet there. That's when God gets into the prophet, and the prophet talks, and that's God talking. All right? As Moses called a nation out of a nation, church is calling a spirit's calling a bride out of a church. A church out of a church. Members from every denomination making up a bride tree. That's in tape form. A bride coming out. And that's the one that the bride tree is. The bride, rather, is the one that's going to be in the rapture. That alone. Nothing but the bride. The elected one foreknown by God from the beginning. The Father's spiritual gene. Now, he's going to reveal here, from this point on, for a page or two, who the bride is as to its source, which they are the spiritual genes of their father, which is God. But notice, look, each of you people, do you know years before you were born, you were in your father as a gene? Where were you? In your father. Now, you might not agree, but you're going to have to listen, because this prophet would know. It's talking about your earthly father. That's right. A germ of seed was in your father. Comes from the male sex, not the female, so that's proof it's earthly. So he's speaking of the earthly father. See, female furnished the egg, a bedding ground, but the germ comes from the man. Now, say in my father, or rather my son sitting here, he didn't really mean that. He's talking about his son. When I was 16 years old, my son was in me. Now, the point is, was he or was he not? Now, you see, that's where people get all mixed up on natural and spiritual election. They want to have it made that you somehow get here accidentally. The whole thing was something little worked out, and you got a free choice somewhere and this, that. Look, you ain't nothing but a legalist. Until you come to understand these things, you do not understand predestination and the sovereignty of God. Now, he categorically says that his son was in him. So, maybe his son wasn't in him. Maybe it's just a bunch of poppycock, a bunch of tripe. You and tripe is? Well, I'm not happy about it. Scotch made tripe soup. Black man eats chitlins. The best I'll do is eat casing, but it's got to be on a sausage. Well, tripe's really that thick lining of the stomach, and that even seems worse. All right? Bunch of tripe, as far as I'm concerned. When I was 16 years old, my son was in me. I didn't know him, but he was there, was he? Or wasn't he? Now, through a bedding ground, through holy wedlock, he becomes in the image of me. All right? Who's me? William Branham. Doesn't become me, it says becomes in the image. Was that scripture? Sure. Seth was in the image of Adam. Where was Seth? In his father's loins. All right? He becomes in the image of me. I know him. I can fellowship with him. He came just at the time when it's right the right time. That's true. Born right. So now you, who's you? What he said you were. You, if you've got eternal life, see, you were in God there before there ever was a world. You are a part of Son of God, an attribute of God. Now, the word attribute means it's a marked distinction from the source. It's got to indicate something about where it sprung from. Because the attribute is not the thing itself, but it's a part of the thing, of which many attributes literally make up the whole thing as to manifestation. Now, he said, you were a part of Son of God, an attribute of God. He knew the very age you were coming. See? Now, so, we'll concede then that we must be a part of the revelation of this hour, because he knew the hour we'd be coming in, and there's a revelation to the bride for this hour. And the bride being one with the Word, then has got to be a part of this revelation. You follow what I'm saying? Then we are a part of the rapture. Care what anybody says. You say, I might die. Go ahead and die. You'll be up. I'll be standing waiting for you. And because you're an unbeliever, I hit you with the club. Yeah, I got to put that in there to let you know we're not fooling. A lot of people, they think, well, if you go down, you're coming back. Certainly. I'm not going to miss what's going on here. What was I born for? I was born to get over there. I don't care which course I take. He knew the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to the age to take that place. What place? Rapture. Amen. And no one else can do it. I don't care how many impersonations and things you've got to be there. Simon Carey said about the impersonations, the phony balonies, if there's billions of them, you have got to be there. Because he knew you'd be there. Now you are made manifest. Now you can have fellowship with him. How can you have fellowship outside of this revelation? Well, come on, wake up. Get your thinking caps on. Don't blame me what you missed. Look, I read it to you. I'm breaking it down to you. Now, if you want a Pentecostal toe dance or some Methodist hogwash and claptrap, you're looking at the wrong guy. Because I was glad to leave Pentecost. Oh, bless God. They were glad to get rid of me, too, no doubt. The Baptists, a whole bunch of them were. Like the poor old whale, Jonah got jumping up and down there. Because he thought of the holy city. The old whale belched him out. Okay, you cannot have fellowship apart from that. That's true. Because if we're in the light, as he is in the light. And the light is he is here for a rapture. Then if you're in that light, you've got fellowship. Then tell me people turn this light down. They say, well, that's not the way our church taught it. I don't care. William Branham stood here. He said, you know what's going on? He said, tell me, what do you really think? Are you catching what's going on? He said. Then he stood back and explained it. You take about, I'm going to tell you, the devil can no more get the victory over us than nothing. This is something he knows nothing about. He's out of it, period. Because everything he ever built on has gone down the drain. And he cannot build on revealed word because he doesn't know the first thing. He cannot handle the word. That's why the churches can. Now you're manifest. Now you fellowship with him. Only under the blood to the bride now, see? That's what he wants. He's longing for fellowship, to be worshipped. But if in your life did not all, but in, if, but it is a little mixed up here. But in, if your life did not always, was as an attribute in God, you're just a mimic. In other words, he said, look, if you weren't there in the first place, you are just a counterfeit and you're mimicking Christianity now. And you can be a mighty fine mimic. You can out-mimic the ones that are real. There'll be billions and billions of them mimics in Christianity. See? Now notice, he's talking about the fact of this end time, which is that light we mentioned over in John 1, 1 John 1 and 7, we have fellowship if we're under, and we have the blood cleansing us, And that's the same as Matthew 24:27, the light coming at the end time. And the light at the end time is the Son of Man and the entire revelation. And at the time of the revelation, there's a separation. And those that belong to the true word are getting out of here. And those with the false carcass are going to stay here. That's where you stand today. Now, we're going to let you go right here because it's 1 o'clock. The tape's almost run out. Now, next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll start on the fact that he talks about mimics to Christianity. That'll act as though they're part of this. And they're no more part of election than nothing. See? And he goes into the fact of the of the insemination of the cattle in Demas Shakarian's big dairy herd, and he tells you how that actually the thing works, and he said that's exactly the way it is. And he goes into the eagle story, and the thought coming up is this: if you were not one of the genes of the Father, you are not one now. If you were not in the foreknowledge, you cannot be in the predestination.
Amen.
There's no way. Then you see the rest come in as that which is written. There'll be those that don't make it and those from the second resurrection. That's right. It's all written out there. But they're all adjuncts, as it were, to show the perfections and the glory of God as God takes the bride through. All of these things line up, as Brother Branham taught us. So we'll get in that next week. I don't think we'll go into it Wednesday. We just try to run this in Sundays in continuity. And let me see. We got from middle of page 14 to middle of page 18. All right, there we are. Let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, again, we are so happy to say, Lord, we appreciate your goodness, your love to us, to come into your house here and see what we believe to be the truth, Lord. We cannot prove anything, and Father, we aren't about to prove anything. We believe. We believe we've heard your voice. We believe we've heard from heaven. We believe all these things, Lord. That we're right into the rapture now. It's coming, the grand turn for the dead to come out of the graves, and we're going to see them because we're part of them. We're all foreknown to this end by election and predestination. It'll be proven. In fact, Lord, we know the proof is here in this hour, the manifestation that we are not scoffing at the rapture. We are 100% for it, O God. We believe you, Lord. And there's no changing to the left or to the right. And we love it, Heavenly Father. Sweet, delicious manna. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Wouldn't trade it, I don't believe, for billions, Lord, and for anything under the heavens or under the earth, because God in heaven, we know that you would never put a part of the word here and manifest it if it wasn't going to go all the way through, just as the prophet said. So we don't care whether it's high tide or low tide, life or death, principalities and powers, whatever it is, is not going to separate us from you. From this moment on, we're going right up into the resurrection. Having been already judged righteous, having, Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ scattering sin, and we not glorifying as though we can do ourselves, as though we can do anything, but, Lord, we are glorifying you because you are overlooking us as human beings and seeing us through the blood, through the everlasting covenant, seeing us as those sons going into mortality, Lord. Our hope and our rest and all is in thee, O God. We don't have a battle with anybody, Lord, not even with ourselves anymore. We've entered into your rest, into your marvelous grip upon us, Lord. We know we're going up with you, going to take us up there. We're happy, Lord, in your happiness. We delight in your delight. Father, there's nothing we see but you as far as we know. And what there is missing, if anything, in the depth of the revelation, in the in-depth, Lord, we believe that there's no limit to those walks.